Kimud, which is the special Takanas Chachamim, that whenever a woman's getting ready to get married, even if she's not literally in the Yidden level of Diraisa, she's either too young or she's too old, or whatever the case may be, she's clearly not actually seeing. Nevertheless, as a low plug, the Chachamim said that we have to be concerned lest she's in Yidda. Maybe the excitement of getting married perhaps brought about some changes in her, and she is in Yidda, and therefore she has to catch the Kima, go to the mikvah, in effect, like any other woman. Every once in a while, a couple could mess up in terms of that. She forgot, she didn't know the day, she didn't catch her, and all of a sudden they realize that it's time to finally get married, but she hasn't actually observed Shirikim yet. So the Rishonim point out, so then that is the halacha equivalent of an effect of a chuppas nida. That since the Rabbanim were concerned that she is a nida, we have to treat it like any other chuppas nida, and it's this place in Shulchan Aruch where the Shulchan Aruch begins to discuss. And what if it's a real chuppas nida? Forget about this. Is there a bonafide case of chuppas nida? What if it's a real McCoy? The woman had a regular riyah. Megan was 20 years old. And she had her riyah davened 2 days before the wedding. And now we have a real chuppas nida on her hands. So how does that impact, particularly in terms of hilchas nida? So even though it's a little bit roundabout that we got this discussion, this is where the Rishon, this is where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the nuances of how chuppas nida plays out, particularly in terms of chuppas nida. So before we get to the chuppas nida part, really the hilchas chuppah part that's important. And the Rambam's opinion is that whenever you have a chuppas nida, you don't really have a chuppas nida. There's no such thing as a chuppas nida, the Rambam says, because the Rambam's opinion is that Nisuin has to be what we call a yichud aroi labia. That the very definition of Nisuin, which completes the marriage, has to be with the couple who is together in a room with the ability potentially to do bia. If they need it, obviously that's not going to play out. According to the Rambam, you won't have a case of a chuppas nida proper. According to other Rishonim, you can. According to Rosh, Ran, and others, that chuppah is not necessarily, nisuin is not necessarily yichud aroi labia. Maybe it's the couple going to their own home together later, even if there are other people around, maybe it's getting under the chuppah, other things that may be the nisuin. But there is a possibility of a real chuppas nida. Even according to the Rambam, you can have a situation where the couple had a nisuin, had a chuppah, and then she's pierced her nida immediately afterwards, and that's going to become a whole new topic in halacha as it relates to chuppas nida. So we can have situations of a woman who is a nida very, very, very early on in the marriage, either because she didn't count the appropriate tavuli nasei days, or because she was a regular nida and just didn't get around to go to the mikvah before the chuppah, or even if they technically had the chuppah, they had the yichud, then she's pierced a nida immediately before Bia Rishona. So all of the above are all subject to the next discussion that we're going to have, and this is where it appears in Shulchan Aruch. It begins with page 21. The Gemara Maseches Ksubas sets the stage for us. With the Gemara Ksubas in the fourth and around the Komos, and the Alva base tells us, "V'chein misha pirsa ishta nida v'lo bal." In a situation where a person's wife becomes a nida, but they haven't yet had bia rishona, so they haven't had bia rishona either because she was pirsa nida before the chuppah, or she didn't catch the kiyum before the chuppah because of tavua, or because it was pierced in either right after the chuppah. In any of these cases, she's in either before Bia Rishona. So why does it make a difference? In all the above scenarios, so the couple are not permitted to be in the same room together. They're not permitted to be the yichud together. And therefore, he has to sleep with the men, and she has to sleep with the women. And they're not permitted to have yichud until she gets a chance to go to the mikvah. So this is in stark contrast to regular chasidah, when a woman is a nida, so notwithstanding all the harchokas that we'll talk about later on, but in terms of yichud, so there's no prohibition of yichud at all. A married couple are permitted to be in the same room together, even though she's a nida. And yet, when it comes to pierce the ishtanid in any of the above scenarios, is an issa gomer, even the Gemara, having yichud together, rash yashim and nashim, yishayim and nashim, as a basic service to the Talmud base. We have to now take a step back and get a little bit of a better understanding what nature of the sisser is, what the parameters of the sisser are. This is a very real shot. This shot is going to do happen. What exactly this is all about. It's prohibition of yichud. We call yichud a mishtanita kind of bia rishona. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, not why is there an issur of yichud kind of bia rishona, but why is there a heter of yichud for the rest of her life? Why is it that when a woman is in need, why isn't there an Isser Yichud? What would the starting point be? Why would we think there would be an Isser Yichud? The Mishnah says, in the end of Maseches Kedushin, that the starting point is whenever a couple, a person, man and woman, are not permitted to be together, there's a prohibition of Yichud. The Gemara says that sometimes Yichud is an Isser D'Raisa, sometimes Yichud is an Isser D'Rabbanan. Gemara explained that Yichud Yorayis is violated whenever there's a question of Gil Yorayis. Let's say if you have a Reuven and a married woman or the Yichud together, so that would be an Issa Yorayisa. If Reuven is together with another woman who's an heir with him, we'll leave out some of the exceptions, they're very, very close relatives. But other types of Yorayis, Reuven is in Yichud with his wife's sister, so that would be a problem of Yichud. Reuven is in Yichud, let's say, perhaps with his aunt, so maybe that would be an Issa of Yichud. Whenever you have situations of Arayas, so that's a Torah prohibition of Yichud. The Gemara derives it from a Psukim of Pashas Re'eh, that says it's supposed to be in the Chumash. The Teshuva explained to us that there are sources in the Chumash that created Issa of Yichud with Arayasa. The Gemara says that the Issa of Yichud and Arayasa is only violated in a situation similar to Arayas. But if you have a Pony and a Pnuya, but if you have a single man, a single woman, not a man, single, not, we have a single woman, so she's not an heir of a different state. If they want to get married, they could get married. But right now, they're not married. So the Gemara says that in a Torah, they're permitted to have Yichud. And then in a later stage in history, the Chachamim prohibited it. The Gemara says that in the days of David HaMelech, they made that Gezer after the Maisa with Amnon and Tamar. So David HaMelech was Gozi Yichud on the Pnuya. And Min HaTorah would be okay. But the Rabbanim, they extended it one step further. And then the Gemara says in Masechta Avodah Zarah that at a later stage in history, in the days of Tamid Shah and Hillel, they made a Gezer on Yichud with a Goya as well. Torah, she's not really Erva, and she wasn't even included in the original Gezer of David HaMelech, but with the Rabbanim, they completed the Isser and said that Yichud applies to Goyim as well. And when all the dust settles, Toshanai and Zion, there's this a Yichud with anybody. Because any time you can't be with this woman, whether she's an Erva to you, whether she's a Pnuya, whether she's a Goya, no matter what, it should be, and it's a Yichud. So Tosfos asked the question about Masechet Sanhedrin, if that's the case, that Yichud with Arayas is a real bona fide Isser de Araisa, how in the world is Yichud permitted with one's own wife when she's a nida? Isn't that part of Arayas? We read the Pashas Achrimos. Lisha v'diyas t'vasa, sikra v'dalas t'vasa. That's one of the Pashas of Arayas. So how do we explain that phenomenon that Yichud with one's wife is permissible? Gemara says, b'feirush that's mutar. But how do we understand that? The Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin quotes a pasuk to permit Yichud with one's wife. The pasuk says, suga v'ashashanim in Shir HaShirim. It literally means a hedge of roses. It's become a popular name for the storm. So the Gemara says, let us see what shot the hedge of roses. So the Gemara says that you have a man who's married, and there's nothing stopping it. The only thing that's stopping it from being chayte is that the woman tells the love that she saw red, she saw rose, she saw dam. So the Gemara says that man is able to be kovish as yetzer, the woman kovish as yetzer. There's no wall between them, there's no bricks between them, there's no guard there, there's nobody standing with a gun over them. Sugeva Shishan, just the fact that there's blood, that's enough of a barrier between the husband and the wife. So the Gemara says, because of that, Pasuk, Sugeva Shishan, therefore Yichud is mutter. The Tosfos in Sanhedrin, the Talmud Zayin asks, because of a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that we give a beautiful drasha, we write a book called The Hedge of Roses, and it's mafter, this is their ice, what are we talking about? So the Tosfos explains that if you look in the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, the Gemara talks about the different Yisurim of Yichud, and then the Gemara talks about the exceptions to the rule. The Gemara derives from Psukim that a father and a daughter are permitted to be Yichud together, and a mother and a son are permitted to be Yichud together. How is that, says Tosfos? It's ultimate Arayas. In the Harayas, Belum is that. So how is that Mutter? So Tosfos explains, so obviously built into the Parsha of Yichud is the fact that whenever the Torah assesses that the Yitzhar is not so great, that the person is going to be able to control themselves, then there's no Isra of Yichud. Teva, normal person is not going to have Yitzhar for his daughter, normal person is not going to have Yitzhar for his mother. So since the Torah is given for normal situations, whenever the Yitzhar is not so strong, then the Torah never asked Yichud. Yichud is a gezeira of Yarais. It's a siyag that the Torah imposes. The Torah only imposes the siyag when it makes sense to impose the siyag. In cases where it's so blatant that there's nothing b'chayte, so then there's nothing to worry about. So that's what the Gemara Sanhedrin means when it says suga b'shishanim. A couple is married, and the couple knows that wait 2 weeks. So she's going to go to the mikvah. Let's go pas pasalo. First, he has bread in his basket. Literally, it means the yitzhar is not going to be so strong. If Reuven goes biyichud with an nation station, that's a tremendous yitzhara. So then the Torah imposes an isra of yichud. But if Reuven is together with his wife Rachel, so they're not going to be chayte. They can live together normally for 2 weeks, and they'll wait until she goes to the mikvah. Nothing's going to happen. So Therefore, min haTorah, there's no Isser of Yichud. That's what Tosfos and Sanhedrin present. That's a Chazal figured out. Sukkah v'Shoshanim is not the model, not a Maktiv. Sukkah v'Shoshanim is just the psychological assessment that there's probably nothing to worry about. So whenever there's nothing to worry about, then we don't have to worry about it. So now, this Gemara Ksubas makes a lot of sense. The Gemara says that Kodem Bia Rishona, if a woman is in Ida and the couple haven't even been together yet, so that's a much more serious situation. Because then, that protection that we have, the Sukkah v'Shoshanim, is built on two things. It's built on, number one, she's going to become more to him in the future. Number two, it's Ein Yitzvah Tokfo. They've been together already, so they can wait a couple of days. But the young couple just got married, they're never together, and all of a sudden she becomes an Ida, now the stakes become much more serious. And the odds of them being Chayte are significantly heightened, because we're afraid these people leave the Yitzvah Tokfo. So then, the Gemara Ksuba says, then the Hether of Yitzvah, the Ishta Nida, no longer applies. Even though they're technically married, they've been married for a total of 3 days, so if they haven't been had Bir Rishona, so then we assume that there would be an Issa Gomer of Yichud. So how serious would this Issa of Yichud be? Would this really be Yichud b'daraisa? After all, we're saying that there should have been Yichud d'araisa with any woman who's in Ida. But we said before that Yichud with the Pnuya is only with the Rabbanan. So that means the Pnuya is not Nida. In the olden days, single girls would go to the mikveh for Taras, for Truma, etc. As man is there, and let's say Reuben wants to be together with Rachel, and Rachel's single, but she's 20 years old, so she's already in Nida. So would that be only Nisa D'Rabbanan? So according to Menem Shalom, no, that would be a Nisa D'Raisa, because the woman is considered to be an Erva. We started out by saying that whenever a woman is an Erva, that's Yichud D'Raisa. So we said that Nida is almost the exception to the rule. When it's Ishta Nida, it's an exception to the rule. But if it's not Ishta Nida, if it's a single girl is a Nida, or if it's your own wife is a Nida, but you haven't had the Rishona yet, whatever the concern, the threshold of concern is great, so then that may become a Nida, that may become a Yichud Gomer Min HaTorah. So not everybody agrees to that. There's those who suggest, as a Rabbi Natan that holds, that the Isser of Nida is not really an Isser of Arayas. Because it may be Machlaik, a very conceptual Machlaik, as the Rambam and Rabbi Natan, about is Nida really Gili Arayas or not? We know the Torah lists off, you can't be together with your mother, with your sister, with your aunt, with all the different arayas. Then at the very end, the Torah throws in Hilchos Nida also. So the question is that really part of the parasha of arayas? That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes Beferish. Anyone who's listed in Parshas Achrimos is an Arab. There's no difference conceptually between a Nida and the other arayas. Rabbi Natan says, no, Rabbi Natan says, Gidei arayas means when you have a woman who's Asur Lazem with Teres Lazem. It means I can't marry my sister, but Reuven can. I can't marry my wife's sister, but somebody else can. I can't marry my mother, but somebody else can. So whenever you have a relationship where there's a specific issa between the man and the woman, that's potentially a rias. And Nida, nobody can be with this woman right now. So this woman is off limits from via to the whole world right now. So that's considered to be not, it's an issa, it's not a rias. But Tom says that just because it's an issa kares, doesn't make it a rias. Eating chametz and pesach is also a sukkah. It doesn't make it a rice. So that's only part of the recipe to become a rice. My nafkamina, whether Nida is a rice or not, it's an issukkah anyway. So my nafkamina, being a nafkamina for issa yichud. Issa yichud, the rice, quite possibly, is only with gili rice. So is it possible to have an issa yichud with the Nida min haTorah? Most of the time it's not relevant because one's own wife is mutter anyway. Sukkah b'shashanim is mutter l'chadchila to be with one's wife, which is a Nida. But these strange cases, where the woman is kodim the rishona, the case in Ksubas, the case we're talking about now, the couple just got married, and then she gets a period right away. Well, she had a period right before they get married. So now we quote the Gemara Ksubas that says, well, they can't be together. This is a yichud, and we deal with the deraisa, we deal with the derabonim. It's not 100% clear. We might have kamina, we can observe the din anyway. It's a big enough community. We're going to begin to discuss now some of the interesting shahs and the nitty-gritty shahs that come up concerning this isser. If this is an Issa Yichud Yaraisa, then we're going to look at it very, very chumas. If it's an Issa Yichud Derabbanan, we're going to look at it a little bit more lenient. So let's see if we can now begin to discuss some of the details of this Issa Yichud and see whether we're dealing with a real bona fide Issa Yaraisa or whether not. I tell you, we're not so concerned. The whole thing is only a chumah with Derabbanan anyway. So let's look down at the fifth of the Mamakamos, where the Shulchan Aruch begins to present to us some of the details concerning this prohibition. So Shulchan Aruch first presents the Gemara right out of Ksubis, the fifth of the Mamakamos in Kutzani Beis, of a kid Satech Banzeh. If a person marries this woman within the time of the Shivanikim, again, this is a throwback to what we were speaking about last week. was Tavoli Nosei. So they got engaged, they got ready to get married, and what was supposed to happen was she was supposed to count Shiv and Akiyam and then go to the mikvah. And she didn't get around doing that. She was up to day three and they rushed up the wedding, and now here they are, the wedding's over. She's still technically in the middle of counting Shiv and Akiyam. Or the Chen Chasad Shapirsa Kalasa Nida, Karim Shabala, or the case where the Kala became a Nida before they actually had Birushan. Either one of those two cases, a subject that didn't exist, Lo Yishnach Nima. There would be a prohibition of yichud. Elahu yash. What do you have to do instead? Elahu yashin ben anoshim, v'yishena ben anoshim. So he has to be together with the men, and she has to be together with the women. So we're going to skip down a little bit to the third line in the Ramah itself, towards the end of the line, yesh omrim. So the Ramah quotes yesh omrim she'asur liyachid imo b'yom k'mo b'layla v'in tzorach liyosh te'shmiros v'aku ben anoshim v'hi ben anoshim. What in the world is going on? All of a sudden, we have to do some Rishon to say one thing on Rishon, what's flying in the suit? It looks like such a simple din. It's not so simple at all. Because if you go back to the fourth of Rav Grosh for a second, when the Gemara quotes the phrase of Pirsa Ishta Nidav Lo Baal, so Chazal is trying to describe to you there's a prohibition of Yichud. So listen to the way Chazal formulated the issue of Yichud. Who Yashen Ben Ha'noshim. The Ishto Yeshena Ben Hanoshim. Very bizarre way of describing Yichud. If I was writing the Brice, I would have said, Pirs Ishto Bin Lavol, Asur Bi Yichud. What is like poetic, this dramatic description? He's got to go sleep with the men, and she's got to go sleep with the women. Just get to the point. Bottom line, say they can't sleep together, can't be in the same room together. So what's Pshat in this Gemara? So there's a major machlekes of Yeshena, what to do with this dramatic Lashon of the Gemara. So the Ravid is quoted by the Ramah. The Ravid's opinion was that the reason why the Gemara phrased it this way is to highlight the fact that this is not mamash yichud. This is not the regular rules of yichud, and the rules change here. Bein lekula, bein lechumra. So bein lekula says the Ravid hu yashin. The Gemara talks about the issue of yichud at the time of sleeping, implying that if it's not time to go to sleep, then maybe there's no issue yichud. Because the starting point is a married couple are allowed to be together. They're allowed to be in the same room. They're allowed to be in the same house when she's anita. Everyone does that. So this is the exception to the rule. This is a special din that we're afraid maybe the Yitzhar is too great. They can't control themselves. So therefore, the halacha says they can't be b'yichud. So the Ravid says, yeah, they can't be b'yichud b'zman shena. That means at night they can't be b'yichud. That makes a lot of sense. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to spend the whole day together, you want to eat lunch together in the same house, because they can lock the door, no one has to be there. A couple, even though she's a nida gemurah, it doesn't matter. Says the rabbi during the daylight hours, so she's like regular ishto nida. The only time this chum exists is only night time. It's man shena. That's when the issa begins. And that's why Chazal used the phrase, hu yashen, hi yashena. Chazal didn't say, hey, masur b'yichud, because it's not true. They're permitted to be b'yichud, just as man shena, they're not permitted to be together. That's the cool of the rabbi. Then there's the chum of the rabbi. The chum of the rabbi is that it's a very modern lashon, hu yashen ben ha'anoshim, ishto shena ben ha'anoshim. Usually to permit yichud, you don't need such a grandiose protection that there are men watching him and there are women watching her. They're very, very technical dim in the end of a Seves Kedushin. What's necessary to overcome this yichud? So let's say, Lamashal, if you have one man and one woman together, that's yichud. But if you have two men and one woman, the ikra din, that's usually going to be mutter. Maybe if it's nighttime, sleeping time, maybe you need three men to be mati yichud. So there are nuances what you need. For what you don't need, this elaborate system that's rigged up. He's got his group watching him, she's got her group watching her. That's what we call an halacha bei shmiras. Never heard of such a thing. There's no need for that. The rabbi says, you're right. You never really need that, except for here. But this is just very, very special. Here, we're very concerned here. We're more concerned here than we are regularly yichud. Why? Because they're married already. So there's a tremendous, psychological stress here. They just got married, and all of a sudden now she realizes she can't go to bed for another 10 days, and we're very, very concerned. So the rabbi says, we're very, very concerned at night. We're very unconcerned in the daytime. So the rabbi says, this whole picture comes out with the different guidelines in regular yichud. Bein lekula bein lechumra, says the rabbi, that we at nighttime we insist on a double shmira. Hu niyashin ben anashim, hi yashena ben anashim. You need more than the regular standards of shmira for yichud. But in the daytime, we can relax that you don't need any shmira, no standards whatsoever. So So that's the reason, says the Rebbe, why the Gemara spoke in such strange terms, because it wanted to highlight the fact that it wouldn't have been accurate to say asur b'yichud. It's not true. They're not asur b'yichud. The daytime the mutar. So therefore, Chazal said, "Hu yashen ben anashim, yashen ben anashim," to highlight these two halachas. The Rush in Maseches Ksubis quotes this Rebbe, and he says he thinks that the Rebbe made too much out of the lashon of the Gemara. He thinks that the Gemara was just talking poetically, it was just dramatizing and saying they're asur b'yichud. What are the guidelines of the yichud? Says the Rush. You learn the Maseches Kiddush, you learn Ebenezer, you learn Hilchos Yichud, you figure out what to do. So what are the guidelines of Yichud? So the Rosh says whatever they are in a regular case, namely, Bebe Yom Bebe Laila. A little difference whether it's Yom Laila. And number two, that you don't need two Shmir, you need two Shmir is for. It's Hu Yashem Ben HaAnashim, Oh Hu Yashem Ben. Either one, whatever would be a good Shmir in Hilchos Yichud, you got to learn the details of Hilchos Yichud. Two men, three men, two men, three men. Day, now you got to work out all the details. Whatever they are in Ebenezer, in regular Yichud, they apply here as well. So major machlokes, the Ravid and the Rush, what exactly are the parameters of this Isser? Is this an Isser b'fnei atzmo, or is this just regular plain and simple hilchos yichud?
According to the Rush, you only need one shmir, I think.
Right, whatever the shmir.
Not more than the
yichud. But whatever the regular, right, we don't know yet what the standards are, but whatever the regular standards are, hilchos yichud would be permissible. So the Chazanish, if you take a look at the 22nd of the month of Kavod for a moment, if you're able to read it on the bottom of the Chazanish, it's the last paragraph. Towards the bottom of the page, in the last paragraph of the Chazanish, second column, so the Chazanish writes that he thinks that there's something that we can extract from this Rav. It's a very important conclusion to our Shaila. What's the source of this Isser Yichud? Couldn't be a Rishona. So the second paragraph, the second column, V'nira d'ha Yichud umid d'Rabbanan. Says the Chazanish, everything we're talking about here is not an Isser D'Oraisa. Why? The Minat Torah, he'ida aleinu. That's the phrase that Gemara in Sanhedrin, that he'idah lein haTorah, that sugar b'shoshanim. He thinks that min haTorah, she's really permissible. How does he know that? The imloi kein, lo ha'idu mekilim be'el adas ha'raivid. He says, if this would be an issue of the Araisa, the Raivid sheet, it wouldn't have made any sense. The Raivid says, is it issue yichud gomu min haTorah? 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's okay. We've heard of such a crazy thing that a person can be misyachel with an eshesish as long as it's the daytime. He says the Ravid, if this would have been deraisa, says the Chazanish, if it would have been a deraisa, the Ravid wouldn't have been so lenient. So from the cool of the Ravid, we can extrapolate that he for sure held that it's only a chumra midrabbanan. Now, maybe the Rosh disagrees for that very reason. We're not sure. The Chazanish didn't think so. He thinks that the Ikra did the Ravid is right. That the Isser is only the Rabbanan, and they're still arguing, they're still fighting out the Rebbe and the Rush, what the parameters are. But to say this is an Isser D'Oraisa, he thinks it's very unlikely. So that's the starting point for our sugya, that we're going to look for kulas, we may find some kulas, but we're going to be looking at the sugya all through the eyes of, it's only the Rabbanan anyway, so maybe we're going to have room for to a little bit more lenient. But getting back to this machlokes, the Rebbe and the Rush, how do we pass in l'halocha in this machlokes? This is going to have some very, very real nafkaminas ladina. So the Ramah, go back to page 21 for a moment. So the Ramah quotes at the very last line of the Ramah, on page 21, the minute we got cotton eats la chasan, uktana eats la kala, the amis yachdin beyom, the low cotton uktana. So the Ramah is walking around with a tightrope between the opinion of the Rav and the Rosh. How should we do Bacharia? What should that practice be? So the Ramah writes that we do as follows. To be makel like the Ravid Lagaber and say Yichud Mayom, everything's great. Mayom, no problem. Everything's fine. You can do whatever you want. Mayom. So he says that we're not going to do that. Amos Yachde Mayom Lo Katnuk Tam. I'm going to insist that there be somebody with them to guard them. Who's the somebody to guard them? A Katnuk Tam. That's a throwback from regular Chaz Yichud. But if you have a man and a woman together in a room and there's a katan or katana there also, that katan or katana can serve as a safeguard in terms of a chuz yichud. Now, that katan or katana has to be a certain age to serve as a safeguard. They have to be old enough to understand a little bit what's going on, but young enough that they're not interested in being chayte themselves. If they're mam shebebi, let's say, Reuben and Rachel, are going to be yichud together, and there's a katan or katana, and there's a six-month-old baby in the sleeping in the crib, that's not going to do anything. So the Poskim can say the child has to be old enough that they're going to talk. If they see something funny going on, they're going to walk around and tell people about it. So that's going to serve as a mirsus. That's going to serve as a protection that the couple are concerned. They don't want anyone to snitch on them, so they're going to be concerned to do anything inappropriate. So the child has to be old enough to understand a little bit what inappropriate things mean. So the Gemara says that they have to be old enough that they yodas a little bit in their nevia. They have to appreciate that there's something fishy going on. So the poskim say that age usually is when a child's old enough to understand that running around the house undressed is something that's not a nice thing to do. Kid is 2-3 years old, runs out of the bath and runs around the house undressed, so they don't chop that that's considered to be something that people don't do. But if the child's already 6 years old, 5, 6, 7, whatever age they get to, that they realize they'll throw a towel on their fridge, they're embarrassed about their own fears. So then they're old enough to chop, and they see something that's not sanuul going on, it's going to make an impact on them, and they can make an impression, they're going to potentially snitch. So when the child reaches that age, that becomes a heter in terms of being mafter yichud. The problem is that the child gets to be too old, so then you have the problem of yichud with the child themselves. So if you have a 6-year-old girl, so maybe that'll be old enough to snitch. The problem is that may be a problem of yichud with her herself. So you have to work out all the details of ilchus yichud to figure out at what age the yis of yichud kicks in. But in theory, there's a heter called katru ketara. That's what the Rabbah writes, that we're not going to be matel legamre and just say, oh, bayom, everything's fine, the Rabbin, we want the Rabbin call it a day. No. Amos yachtim bayom lo kadru ketara. However, at night, the Rabbah says, at night, we're going to be a little bit more machmir, we're a lot more machmir, but we're not going to follow the Rabbit's kula. That kula chumra. Let's backtrack for a second. That if you're telling me that we're not going to follow the Rabbit, that we're not going to just say in the daytime everything is okay, so then it sounds like we're possibly like the Rush. If we possibly like the Rush, then it sounds like this is regular yichud, and you don't need a double shmirah. So the Rambam says, no, we're not going to do that either. At night, we're going to insist that having a katan uktan. That's the lashon. Look carefully at the lashon Rambam. For a minute, we got katan eitz lachaser uktan eitz lakala. Trying to mimic hu yashen ben anoshim, vihi yashen ben anoshim. So in the nighttime, where everybody agrees we have a problem, ben lefi arush, ben lefi arayvid, we're going to opt for the high level of shmirah. In the daytime, where not everyone agrees that we have a problem in the first place, we're going to suffice ourselves with the lower level of shmirah. So it's if I ask you at the end of the day, is the Rabbah paskining straight rayvid or straight rush? The answer is straight neither. That he's paskining is almost compromised. That in the we're not going to make a legamri at anything, but we're not going to be super duper duper machmir legamri either. So in the daytime we're going to insist on a quasi shmirah, at least one, and in the nighttime we're going to insist on a double shmirah. How does this play out lamaisa for us? So if and when we have a chuppas nida, the good news is that we have much less frequent chuppas nidas than we used to have. About 20 years ago. In the last several years, the chuppas nidas have become almost a moot point because the women are usually on medication, usually before they get married, so they go to the doctor, regulates the periods, so they try to plan it so that if they don't get their period right before the wedding, so they have enough time to admit for everything, is inshallah Yisrael. So that's, whether that's a good thing to do, a bad thing to do, whether it's recommended medically or not, I'm not a doctor, but tell you tachas, the maisa, that's what's happening, that's what everybody's doing. Now, before that, up until not that long ago, when that was not the common practice, and then it was very, very common. There were chuppas nida. Even Bizman Zed, with all the precautions and all the medicine, sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes she ends up getting a period anyway, and sometimes we do have to deal with chuppas nida. So the first issue you have to deal with the chuppas nida is the yichud room itself. So obviously they can't go to the yichud room, there's an issa yichud, so they can't be together in the yichud room. So what do you have to do? So you have to follow the shramah, you have to figure out a way to get out of the yichud problem. So, who has to be in the yichud room to solve the problem? So, katan ktana. You have to put a child into the yichud room to serve as the barrier, in a sense, to prevent this from being in this yichud. So you have to do this very, very delicately. You don't want the whole world to know that she's a nidus, not sneas. So, usually what they do is that someone will stick the child in the closet beforehand or something. Inside the room, no one knows what's going on. And then when the couple comes in, so the child will be spending 5 minutes with them in the yichud room. How many children do you need? So the chavur should depend when the wedding is. If it's a wedding in the daytime, so then the Rambam was making katan oktana. If it's a wedding at night, then wait a second. And if two children, the whole party in the yichud room. So here the Badi Ashulchan writes that wine can be made. Why? Because what does night mean? We're speaking about night. Night doesn't mean teskechav. Night doesn't mean it's 5 o'clock in the winter time. Night means it's man shena. That's where the Rebbe got it from. The time when people are going to sleep. Nobody's going to sleep at 8 o'clock at night at the middle of the marina. It depends how long things slept out. If the chuppah was very long, it's now 11 o'clock at night. Some people have already gone home to sleep. And a normal wedding time is still not at the time of Shayna. So even though it may be technically Tzitzkechavim, it doesn't have that chumra of Zman Shayna. And therefore, we can be makel the Jewish, quote unquote, lachin like Yom. And therefore, O Kater of Tanis. That's the nice way the minig is today. That's what they do. The problem is it becomes more complicated when the couple has to go home. They're going to have the next week, so what are they going to do then? That's a problem. They can't go stop to their apartment, they can't go to a hotel room unless they bring somebody along, unless they bring a cotton or that. And that becomes more complicated because now it's going to be Belila. So Belila, now the Ramah said, we don't want to be Mekel even with just a cotton of Tana. We want a cotton Uktan. We want both because it's night, so the stakes are much higher. So usually what happens in these kind of cases is so they'll go to the parent, embarrassed to the parents, to their sister, to their brother, to their friend, they'll sleep in someone else, sleep in another house for a couple of days. It's not the most comfortable situation, but that's the din, is that there is a real bona fide issa. There are issa, whatever you think about that shayla, there is a real issa, and therefore, one should be careful about this. There is a line in the Ramah that's a little bit misleading, where the Ramah writes, and back to the fifth Ramah goes for a minute, it's the three lines from the bottom, the Ramah writes, "Einam yishenu b'cheder echad, einam tzichim shimur klal." If they're not sleeping in the same room, then everything's okay. So that sounds from the Ramah, they can go to the apartment, one will sleep in another room, sleep in a bedroom. What's the big deal? What if it's a tumult about it? So Moshe writes, that's not the room. What kind of matra is that? He's in this room, she's in that room, and the door's locked. So why is that any less of a yichud? So Moshe says that means that there are people, there's public area in between. Let's say the Moshe, they go to a hotel. So he takes room 303, she takes room 305. So they're two different rooms. And the only way to get from one room to the other is to come out of the room and go through the hallway. So the hallway, that's the surface is around, there are people around, so that's not going to be about to be a yichud. But if you have two rooms, and they're joined together with the door, and you don't have to go outside, so that's not two rooms, that's one room. The Moshe says the Ramah is a little bit misleading, so this Ramah can't be used to be mocking them to go into an apartment themselves. They could go, if they want to go to a hotel, they don't want to be bothered with going to the neighbors, to going to relatives, they want to have to go to a hotel. It costs them for two rooms. They can take two rooms adjacent to each other. There has to be a way that there's no way for them to get between the two rooms.
The top is if they're going to a relative, they're still in the same room together. The relative's not the room.
Right, so one could argue that if they're in the same room and the door is open and people are told that they can kind of walk in, whether they're going to walk in, not going to walk in, so one could argue that maybe that's that. Truthfully, I would recommend that they be in separate rooms. I think it's asking for trouble if they're in the same room. It's very uncomfortable, that's why we try very hard to avoid it with chila, but it has happened. Still happens as long as that once in a while. We try to avoid it the best as possible. If they're really, really, so terribly embarrassed, they'll go to the hotel, they go to two separate rooms. There is now a very big shadow, I'll talk about it now, from this next week, about what exactly does this term mean. It said that this issur applies, kol dem biyum rishona. Kol zman the couple hasn't been together, this issur kicks in. The question is, what does that mean practically, that they have been together? Usually we think it's pretty straightforward. That means they've had to be together. Not so simple. So those to deal with this kinds of shadows, so we realize right away that very often chas and kalas at the beginning don't have a real mamash, bia, kedas, or chadin. We spoke a little bit about this last, when we spoke about Dan Besulim. Very often it's hard for them at the beginning, and sometimes they have a hara, sometimes not even that. Sometimes it could take days, it could take weeks. As Rabbi Vad Yosef will see, next week, some take months until they have something that's really halachically, according to all opinions, that mamash via gemura, and that could spell a lot of trouble. Because the couple got married, and they think, okay, great, she's not going to go to the mikvah, she's not going to come here for another 5 days, we're great. And then 5 days later, they realize they still haven't had birishana. They were too tired, they were wiped out for shei brachas. It happens couples fly during shei brachas, they get thrown off, their body gets thrown off sometimes. 5 days could pass, and they didn't have anything. And now she gets a period. Now Gavalt. So it's called a Birishana. Now for the next 2 weeks, they can't be Yichud. So we'll see what some of that day are in terms of that. And how that plays out from next week, we'll continue with that.